You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
December the 28th, 2020, the man identified as a prime suspect in the Nashville Christmas Day bombing reportedly was getting rid of some pricey possessions, including his home, in advance of the explosion, gave his ex-girlfriend his car, told her he's suffering from cancer, going to retire, transferred the deeds to his house to some other people, all getting ready, I guess, for what happened on Christmas Day. The RV parked near a building owned by AT&T. They did blast a recording of a warning that a bomb would detonate in 15 minutes. They gave police enough time to evacuate the area, thank goodness. And then suddenly it went off. Dozens of buildings damaged, three injured, only one death, and apparently that appears to be the suspect, Anthony Quinn Warner. So the House will be voting on $2,000 stimulus checks after President Trump has signed the coronavirus spending package. He wants each American to get, instead of $600, $2,000. Republican senators have indicated they're not going to go along with it. And, of course, that's the idea of making Republicans look bad. But Trump had always pushed for at least this, more than the $600, maybe more than the $1,200, back in the summer. But Democrats weren't interested then, because they wanted folks to suffer more and more and not do anything that would help him in advance of the election. He's standing by his gun saying, I still think Americans need $2,000, not the $600 are going to come out. We'll see what happens. Senator Marco Rubio last night accusing Dr. Anthony Fauci of lying about the efficacy of masks and misrepresenting information about the number who must be vaccinated in order for the U.S. to achieve herd immunity. Rubio in a tweet said Dr. Fauci lied about masks in March. Yeah, that was right. In March, he said, I don't think it's really going to do any good. You won't need it. We still do not know, do not have a firm answer. Was Fauci saying that because he didn't want Americans to rush and buy up all the masks before it could get to frontline personnel, or if he believed it? But he has been changing his idea of what we need for herd immunity. He's even admitted that, yeah, I thought herd immunity would take only 70-75% of folks to be vaccinated. But we might need 80-85% of the public to be vaccinated before we have herd immunity. In the meantime, the U.S. on Sunday, yesterday, saw significant decreases in COVID-19 cases and deaths, two of the lowest in weeks, according to the updated data from Johns Hopkins University. And the state of California, which has some of the tightest restrictions in the nation, officially has the worst coronavirus outbreak in the country. Why? Why? Well, because they say folks are tired of being locked down. They're tired. They're not going to put up with it anymore. And these are not Trump-type supporters. These are not Republicans, conservatives. These are leftists who said, I'm tired of being locked up. Well, we'll see what happens now. If it's Monday, it must be time for a death count out of Chicago, unfortunately. At least seven killed, including three on Christmas Day during the extended holiday weekend in Chicago. Seven killed, more than 40 shootings over that period of time. President Trump will be going back to Georgia on the evening before the Senate runoff election, campaigning for Senators Loeffler and Perdue, holding the rally in Dalton, Georgia, Monday, January 4. We are, of course, just days from the U.S. runoff election in Georgia, and the Georgia Star News reports that 460,000 absentee ballots deposited in drop boxes that were counted in the state's November 3rd election, no one has a chain of custody. They cannot show how they got them, where they came from. No one has a chain of custody on 460,000 absentee ballots. That race went to Biden in Georgia by just less than 12,000 votes. By the way, the president's favorite paper, the New York Post, is now encouraging him to give up on this fight on keeping the presidency, move on. A storm moving across central and southern California will be a storm in the middle of the country by midweek. Could bring rain, high elevation snow to parts of California, and then hit the Midwest with heavy, heavy snow into the southwest, central, and northern plains. But if you're in an area where you need a ceiling fan, if you've got one called King of Fans from Fort Lauderdale, they're recalling 190,000 because, and you don't want this to happen, some of the blades can come off while it's in use. What was that? Duck! If you have one, take it back to where you bought it. Stand by for the rest of the hour.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my own Studley Roy. And the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
In the Middle East particularly, I mean, this is a significant achievement that we really don't even know how good this is yet, because it's more and more countries are joining it. It's the first peace agreement between Israel and Arabs in not just 10 or 20 years, like a couple thousand years. And what it has done, what President Trump has done, sort of everybody was paying attention elsewhere, is he was able to craft an agreement and convince the Arabs that their only sort of prosperity platform, the only way they could get to peace and prosperity, was by having a peace agreement with Israel.
Those are the words of K.T. McFarland, former Deputy National Security Officer for President Trump, and talking about the deal that Trump brokered in the Middle East, the Abraham Accords, along, of course, obviously, with his son-in-law running the point, Jared Kushner. Trump had made such a major step in the Middle East. It is the kind of thing, if you were being honest about it and you weren't locked into being an anti-Trumper, if you were simply looking at what he's accomplished, that it would most clearly be worthy of a Nobel Peace Prize. Not just for Trump, give it to all the country, all those involved. But, I mean, it's staggering to think that all of these countries have been brought together. As you heard K.T. McFarland say, this is significant. We really don't know how good it's going to be because more countries will be joining. History will finally have a good look at this, but, of course, by then, They would be clear to many that, well, yeah, maybe Trump did. Yeah, we'll give Trump credit, but too bad, so long, he's out. It is clear that the mainstream media has made it a full-time effort to avoid any mention or coverage or consideration, and certainly praise for what Trump has done. I don't want Jared Kushner in bringing Israel and some of its sworn enemies together. Again, KT McFarland.
It's Israel and the Arab states that are really united against what they see is potentially a Biden administration going into enable Iran again, enable Iran to have nuclear weapons, enable Iran to support terrorist movements. So I think President Trump has put in place the Abraham Accords, which I don't think even the Biden administration can't screw that one up.
You wouldn't think so. Howsomever, I wouldn't say it couldn't. And, of course, we have to consider, you're talking about the Biden administration. Wait until the Harris administration takes over. I will still lay pretty good odds that I don't think Biden's going to last through 1 year. I just don't think so. But look at what Trump has done. For all the negative that you hear, and all the course mainly coming from the left and the mainstream media, just take a look at what has been accomplished. He got rid of the trade deal that was not doing us any good at all, NAFTA. He brought in the USMC trade between U.S., Mexico, and Canada. That's in addition to getting Israel and Arabs united under the Abraham deal. He initiated our first tariff battle with China, stood up to them finally, and said, we're not going to do business the way we've been doing. We're going to start with tier one tariffs and go from there. And China blinked. It was tough for a time on some, including farmers. Trump moved forward to make sure they got some help in the meantime. And some other things that I know have been forgotten in all of it. He got three Americans freed from North Korea. Freed from North Korea. He got an American pastor freed from the Taliban. And, of course, gave the green light to take out an ISIS leader when they had him in clear sights and where they could take him out, and they did. And they've been working on talks and disengagement between the U.S. and Taliban. Now, if you don't follow foreign events that much, you don't think they bother you, they don't matter to you, well, let me tell you, everything I just labeled, if it were done by an Obama administration or a Biden administration, I would still praise it. Because they are major, significant steps. See, I can be even and fair-handed on this. I say Trump deserves a credit on this. I would say if Biden had done the exact same things I just listed for you, then you'd have to give Biden credit for it. But what we have Biden again, he wants to go back to what Obama was shoving down our throats as he went out of office, to build his legacy on that. I got a nuclear deal signed with Iran, that Iran would cease pursuing nuclear weaponry, which they haven't. They've continued anyway. So when Trump came into office, he tore up that agreement. It was never a treaty because it never went to the Senate, because members of the Senate, including Schumer, and other Democrats who were also Jewish would not go along with it. They knew it was bad for Iran, I mean for Israel. And Israel was saying it's going to be bad for us. You're going to help our enemy basically continue to build and under cover of darkness and in the deep of their hills as they produce and prepare and perfect nuclear capability against us. And other countries in the Middle East did not want Iran to have that. That is why Trump, again with Kushner, his steps, his grandson-in-law, have been able to craft these pieces to bring Israel and Arabs united against Iran. And you heard K.T. McFarland saying, I don't think even the Biden administration is going to be able to screw this up. Well, he will. He will if he goes back in. Biden's already said, we will rejoin the agreement if Iran returns to strict compliance with the nuclear deal. Well, they're not going to return to any strict compliance. They never had it anyway. Members of the UN Atomic Energy Commission supposed to be investigating. They never were able to get clear permission. You know why? Because much of the work was being done at military installations. And no way did you get into a military installation without being cleared in advance. And then you saw only what they wanted you to see. But Obama wanted it as part of his legacy. And Biden wants to go back and lift the sanctions on Iran. And as soon as they do, they will have money again for all kinds of, not just nuclear weapons, but terrorism around the globe, as they were doing. So Trump, brokering the Abraham Accords, effective for the Middle East, bringing peace, actual peace for a period of time. As K.T. McFarland said, it's the first peace agreement between Israel and Arabs in not just 10 or 20, it's like a couple of thousand years. Convincing the Arabs, you want prosperity? The only way you're going to get to peace and prosperity is have a peace agreement with Israel. Israel's not out to destroy you, despite the stories and what you want to push and the PLO push and continue to say. They want to all live in peace. And now put all that aside. Let's turn away from the Middle East for a moment. What about China? As I was listening to these things that Trump has accomplished, I mentioned starting the first Chinese tariff battle, the first tier, to tell them we will not continue to put up with wrong-sided, one-sided deals where you take advantage of Americans. And China ended up blinking because they knew they still need to have the trade with us. K.T. McFarland says Trump is the one who made that happen.
The other thing that I think is quite significant is with his approach to China. He stood up to China. Nobody stood up to China. China has made no secret of the fact that they plan to replace the United States as the dominant power in the world and then rewrite the rules of order to favor them and at our expense. And President Trump was the only guy, only political leader to stand up to China. I hope the Biden administration continues. I don't think they will, but it would be a darn shame if they go back to the China first policy by jettisoning America first.
And see, we already know that that's the road that Biden will go down. They've already said clearly, to say America first, well, that's offensive to other countries. Why? Because our president says America first? He's the president of this nation, not president of France, Germany, China. Do you not believe that the leaders of China, the Communist Party leaders, so forth, say China first? Do you think they say America first? Do you think they say we're all on equal par, let's all be the same? Of course not. And then, of course, we also have the problem with Biden. Because Biden has been very wishy-washy when it comes to China.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He ought to go read what their own leadership is saying, that the United States days are over, that China plans to take over the worldwide communications network by building the internet infrastructure of the future, the 5G network, how that China plans to push the United States out of the South China Sea, the world's most important maritime trade route, how China plans to beg, borrow, steal, whatever they have to do, to be the technology kingpin of the world, of all of the world's critical technologies. And then they make no secret of the fact that they're going to rewrite the rules, China's going to be in charge. Everybody else in the world has to fall in line, or else China will use what's called wolf warrior diplomacy. In other words, they're ruthless on how they're going to pursue their own special interests. So if Joe Biden thinks that's just fine, well, I think he's making a big mistake, and I'm particularly concerned because I think his family has been had business relationships with China and the Chinese government for way too long and way too deep.
Yeah, that is very clear, isn't it? We know that. We know that, and the Hunter Biden thing still needs to be fully exposed, and James Biden and Joe Biden tied to it. K.T. McFarland again, former national security advisor for Trump, says Biden had his chance, and he failed.
Joe Biden could have been tough on China and could have stood up to China 10, 20 years ago. It would have been easy, John. It would have been so easy to force reciprocal relationships and equal trade agreements, but he never did. Now it's hard. Now China is in a position to really put the screws to every country, but particularly to the United States. Now, do we really think Joe Biden, who didn't take him seriously when it would have been easy, is going to take him seriously now when it's hard, particularly when his family has financial interests with the Chinese leadership?
Good question. It'll be very interesting to see how the mainstream media handles Biden and China going forward. As I've said, they may decide to go on the attack against Biden once he's inaugurated, because then he can be forced aside and Kamala can move in. We'll deal with more with the media a little bit later in this hour, coming back with Nancy Pelosi on how they expect to win Georgia and go big.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Just one more thing, because you know how I'm about numbers. When we win these two seats, plus Kamala Harris breaking the tie, it'll be like getting 60 votes, because once we have even a simple majority, we can vote for reconciliation, which means you only need 51 votes to pass certain legislation.
The words of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California. And again saying, look, if we get rid of Senators Loeffler and Perdue in this Georgia runoff election, we will be able to have full control. See, the Senate typically needs 60 votes to pass legislation through the chamber. Some bills in the Senate can pass with a simple majority through what they call budgetary reconciliation. That allows Congress to pass bills affecting spending, revenue, or deficit levels. Now, Republicans have used it in the past. It's not just for one party. They use it to pass the Trump Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And they tried to use reconciliation and failed when they were repealing or trying to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Democrats can turn right around and use it at a similar scale and tear up the tax cuts bill for you and any ACA repeal bills. This election in Georgia is absolutely crucial. There will be no check and balance if the Democrats hold the White House, the House of Representatives, and the Senate. And another thing, Pelosi's already pledged to hold a hearing in the House during the next congressional term to repeal the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment would lead to American taxpayers funding abortions. In fact, it's believed to be the first issue on the chopping block if the Democrats gain control. Schumer's already said, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said, now we take Georgia, then we change America. And we have watched what's happening in Georgia about folks who were rushing in to get registered before December 7th so they could vote, January 5 coming up. Folks rushing in to establish residency. The Georgia Secretary of State, a Republican, said, we're going to watch out and we're going to make sure that anyone that gets an absentee ballot, that they're an actual Georgia resident and are qualified to vote. But if they got inside your border and they were able to establish residency in some fashion, as even a Democrat presidential candidate at one time, Andrew Yang, suggested, do you think that's going to be a fair election? I mean, will legal voters really be involved? And here's something else to keep in mind. The recent Federal Election Commission report reports that Georgia Senate Democrat John Ossoff, who's, of course, facing Senator David Perdue, has raised nearly, are you listening, please? Ossoff has raised nearly six times more in California than he did in Georgia. That's right, he got six times as much money from folks in California in his race in Georgia than he did in Georgia. Lord help us if they get hold of everything. Mainstream media attacking Trump. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Donald Trump did not just do this all on his own in the way he lashed out at the press and went after the press. There were taxpayer-funded employees of the federal government, paid for with your tax dollars, who were out there retaliating against reporters, too. And keep in mind, you know, it's not just what was going on inside the White House, the president and his people. There were Trump supporters all over the country absorbing this hostility that the president was directing at the press and then lashing out at us as well. And, you know, in ways that made us feel endangered.
Endangered. The words of CNN and Jim Acosta. In a panel discussion yesterday, talking about how Trump basically was ginning up anger and hate toward the media and made us endangered. And he pointed out, keep in mind, these are taxpayers. I mean, he used taxpayer opportunities and as if PBS and NPR, which are funded with taxpayers' money, have not been used to go against President Trump or any Republican. Let me quote for Jim Acosta from Maureen Dowd of the New York Times in 2014 when Obama was fuming over a pair of North Korean stories. Maureen Dowd quipped, "Quit whining, Mr. President." So I might say, "Quit whining, Acosta. You got what you wanted. You got all the headlines, and now the question is, how are you going to deal with Biden?" maybe with kid gloves, or they, again, they may reach a point, as I've said previously, that they decide once he gets in, we will help Kamala and the squad and the progressives get him out, and we'll go on the attack against Biden. This back and forth between reporters and elected officials, even at the highest level, is not new. We know that. And some of you might go all the way back to remember the days of Nixon and Rather. I covered the 1988 Republican National Convention when it was held in New Orleans in the Louisiana Superdome from August 15 to August 18. Now, that was at a time when television stations, local TV stations, would in fact cover a political convention. And usually an anchor was sent to handle most of the responsibility from there and have other reporters doing some things. But I always insisted if I cover one, I also need to cover the other. So I also covered the Democrat National Convention because I thought it was important that I be at both. And I got flack from folks on both sides coming back from one saying, well, you're certainly in favor of that party the way you told the stories. And I come back from the other and say, well, you're certainly with that party the way you did your story. So that was fine. But at that time, there was a lot of flack going on with Dan Rather and Bush and Republicans in general. And most Republicans, conservatives, did not like Dan Rather. A fellow Texan, I might add. And I do remember on the floor of the convention at one point, there were his booth was built on the floor, you know, as a kind of a rising position, let's say an elevated position, several feet above anyone's head. And yet they were all gathering down there shouting during each and every report he was doing as he was up in the booth. And at the time, the station I worked for was a CBS station, and since I had a CBS flag as well, but then I also got some of the flack as well. But it was primarily aimed at Rather. But I can go back prior to 88. I was in Houston in 72, again, working for a TV station. And some of you might remember this. We got Richard Nixon at that time, and he's taking questions. March 74. So he took a question from Rather, who at that time was the CBS White House correspondent, was not an anchor. And Rather said, "Thank you, Mr. President." Dan Rather, CBS News. And immediately there were jeers and applause. Nixon joked, "Are you running for something?" And then some say, depending on your take, Dan Rather sassed the president back, said, "No, sir, are you running for something?" Oh, it made good TV, made a lot of good noise. I had that date later a coffee, a meeting with a former radio station owner from West Texas I'd worked for decades before, and we're looking forward to getting together, and he was absolutely fuming when we met. How dare Dan Rather talk to the president like that? And talking to the president like that was just that when Nixon said, after all the cheers for Rather and jeers, Nixon said, "Are you running for something?" And Rather shot back, "No, Mr. President, are you running for something?" And that was considered sassy, in your face, not proper etiquette in dealing with the president. Look where we are now. Look where we are now and have been for some time. And, of course, because it's been Trump, the attitude has been all is fair. All is fair. You can do anything and everything you want. And you heard Acosta talk about these Trump supporters that basically have a hostility toward the press, and even death threats, even death threats. Again, Jim Acosta accosting Acosta.
You know, I am not the only reporter who covered this White House who has had death threats. There have been a number of us who have experienced death threats. We can't be at a place in this country, Brian, where political reporters, White House correspondents and so on need bodyguards to go cover political campaign events and so on. And so, you know, it's more than just pulling a press pass or yelling at a reporter at a press conference or calling somebody names like we heard President Trump do with Abby from time to time. It is just a pervasive hostility towards the press, and anti-democratic hostility towards the press, that I just hope we never see the likes of ever again. It is just so damaging and destructive for our democracy.
And you were so happy to be engaged in it, believe me. Jim Acosta believes he made his bones with Trump, and by that he got greater standing. Enough to write a book. So he'll go on like, I'm so offended and we're so hurt and it hurts our democracy. And the stuff they were doing, the way they were attacking Trump on a constant basis, that was good for democracy. Well, if you believe in free press, I mean true free press, you got to accept it. That's fine. In November 2017, the International Center for Journalists gave Fox News' Chris Wallace an award for excellence in journalism. And in that speech in 2017, he noted that President Trump's attacks on the media threatened democracy, but then he also did turn to scold his peers. Now, this is as it's written by Columbia Journalism Review by John Alsup and Pete Vernon, that Wallace said, and I'm quoting, "Even if Trump is trying to undermine the press for his own calculated reasons, when he talks about bias in the media, unfairness, I think he has a point. If you're really going to be objective and fair, you have to acknowledge, yeah, he had a point. He had a point because nothing he did ever got credit. They were mocking him about how him getting the Nobel Prize. And I just outlined earlier in this hour what he did for the Abraham Accords, bringing what appears at this time to be peace to the Middle East that never had been before, not 10, 20 years, but 2,000 plus years. We got Arab countries aligning with Israel. Did you see the mainstream media promote that and say it's a good deal? No. When he actually got warp speed vaccines out, did you hear praise about it? No, it's just pointing out, as I said in the previous hour, well, we said we would have 20 million vaccinated, so far only 2 million, so it's a failure. The days when Nixon asked, are you running for something, and rather be it sassy back or just a quick wit reply said, no, sir, are you, that pales in comparison to what we've been seeing. But rest assured that the hound dogs will be put back in their cages with Biden in office. Maybe. Maybe. I mean, unless they decide, let's let him loose again to take him, tear him out of office so Kamala can come in. It will be very interesting to watch how we see news media, mainstream media, cover a Biden-Harris administration or a Harris administration. And how many passes they would give them compared to zero passes Trump at any point. Take a break when we come back. Are you ready? Are you ready for a movie about COVID-23? Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Curfew is now in effect. all unauthorized citizens must stay indoors.
Tensions rise as we enter the 213th week of lockdown.
Grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
Beginning thermal scan. Thermal scan normal.
A horrifying new development today.
It confirms the virus attacks the brain tissue.
Whoa! I'm immune!
Worldwide death toll rises to over 110 million.
All infected Americans are being forced into quarantine camps.
Wow, does that sound familiar? All Americans are being forced into quarantine and being reinforced and kept there by the military, at least in the movie. There is a movie titled Songbird. They bill it as a 2020, yes, made this year, American science fiction thriller film based on, what else, COVID-19 pandemic. Produced by Michael Bay and has different stars in it. It's not key to me. What I'm looking at is a storyline. They came up with this idea in March, shortly after the pandemic stopped all film production. The cast joined in June. They took filming around L.A. over July and August. First film to have production following the shutdown. It just got released on demand December 11. Now, I don't know if I'm interested in watching another storyline about COVID, but here's what they've done. As you heard in some of the trailer, we are now in 240-some-odd weeks of lockdown. By 2024, according to the movie, the COVID-19 virus is now mutated into COVID-23, and the entire world is in its fourth pandemic year. In the U.S., you have to take temperature checks on your cell phones. Those infected with COVID-23 are taken from their homes against their will, placed in quarantine camps, also known as Q-zones, concentration camps, and of course, many are beginning to try to fight back against brutal restrictions. In the camps, the infected are simply left to die or get better if they can. A lot of Americans already fear that this could be coming, that it's not so much fiction if we continue to accept any demand of lockdown that's put on us. I can't believe they rushed out a movie like this on one hand. I mean, and they did it in the midst of the pandemic, and of course it's high interest, but I got to tell you, I have no interest in looking at what could happen. I think all of us fear what could happen. And keep in mind, we have several things that are in play in real life. And that is, one, as I stated earlier, California, the tightest restrictions in the nation, and is reporting more cases than anyone else, and yet the tightest restrictions. Why? Well, they even stated they believe it's many in California are tired of the restrictions. They don't want to put up with them anymore. And California, mostly built with snowflakes and liberals, and if they're tired of it, and they say, to hell with it, going to do what I want to. It's not just the conservatives and Trumpers and Bible-clinging Midwesterners. And then we also have against that a mutant strain out of UK, which now we're told, no, it can be handled by the current vaccines. But also we're told that to get herd immunity in this nation, now we have to have 80% basically taking this vaccine. And there have been some reactions, some severe, for those taking the vaccine. And will we ever get rid of it? Or will we be in 2024 talking about a COVID-19 that has now become COVID-23? And will we get to the point that's being pushed by this piece of fiction? Americans have gone along with a lot of this, and we do what we know we need to do, and we do what we think we should for our family, and I've encouraged you repeatedly. Do what you think is best for you and your family. And if I go into a business and they require I wear a mask, then I'm going to wear a mask. But I told you the other day that in I want to say it's Minnesota. I could be wrong. It may have been Michigan. Bottom line is, in one state, the governor was saying, basically, even in your own home, you should wear a mask. in your own home. And we're told don't travel. And yet we had a lot of people traveling, you know, with this Thanksgiving holiday. Now we'll see 10, 12 days from now if there's a new outbreak. I traveled. I'm fine. Doesn't mean tomorrow I won't be. And I'm going to travel again coming up in the next couple of days. And some of you are out there saying, I hope he gets it severely. Well, some of you would say that. I encourage you to do what you think is best. And yes, at the same time, we need to open up our nation. We are suffering. Folks are suffering, losing their jobs. And the harm to our economy and our people right now is more than COVID. We will be back tomorrow. I appreciate you spreading the word about this program. I truly do. Back tomorrow. And we will continue, hopefully, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.